Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for words and their stories and people in America, coming up after As It Is.
From VOA Learning English, welcome to As It Is. I'm Steve Ember in Washington. Officials in Japan have been studying ways to set rules for the digital currency known as Bitcoin. The investigation came after a leading Tokyo-based trading house closed suddenly. Today on the program, we tell how Bitcoin is growing in popularity, but also creating concerns. But first, we turn to international efforts to help poor people in Africa. Three United Nations agencies want the poor to become less dependent on aid. But critics are wondering if the UN efforts are having any success. Mario Ritter has more.
The agencies want financial services such as credit, savings, and insurance to be made available to everyone. That includes poor people in Africa's rural areas who may live on only $2 a day. The agencies believe that if these services reach the rural poor, their lives could improve greatly. Ertharin Cousin works for the World Food Program, one of the UN agencies involved in the effort. She says the World Food Program's goal is to create opportunity in agricultural production that continues after aid efforts end. The other agencies are the Food and Agriculture Organization and the International Fund for Agricultural Development. Representatives of the agencies were recently in Ethiopia, a densely populated country of more than 84 million people. But more than 80% of the population lives in rural areas. The FAO gave seeds and fertilizer to farmers. Local groups then buy what the farmers have grown with money that comes indirectly from the International Fund for Agricultural Development. And the World Food Program gives schools support so they can buy locally grown food to serve their students. Organizers hope the programs will help people live without aid. They say farmers and local groups called cooperatives want the program to succeed, so they are working together. Another part of the program teaches people how to manage their money. The agencies teach those living on a few dollars a day to use part of that money not for daily costs, but to save or invest. Queen Maxima is the UN's special advocate for financial inclusion. She says knowing how to manage and save money is important if people want to support themselves.
Eventually, it should come from savings. Eventually, you should unleash domestic savings because of the domestic resources that should be put back into productive loans so that, you know, people can actually make the investment, grow the production, increase employment, etc., etc.
Ethiopia does not have a strong financial services industry. Only 8% of the population saves money in a bank. While mobile banking has helped the rural poor in other African countries, Ethiopia has only recently permitted mobile banking. I'm Mario Ritter.
And I'm Steve Ember. You're listening to As It Is from VOA Learning English. An ever-growing number of people are using Bitcoin to buy goods, pay for services, or send money anywhere in the world. They do not have to use traditional banks, credit cards, or other financial services when they use the electronic currency. Our economics reporter, Mario Ritter, has more.
Bitcoin is electronically protected, or encrypted. It is bought, sold, and transferred, like other currencies, through trading companies. Transfers happen without governments being involved or regulating the currency. Jerry Brito is a technology policy analyst at George Mason University. He says Bitcoin is the world's first true digital currency that is not controlled by anyone.
Bitcoin is basically solved a computer science problem that for the first time allows just two people to transact online. So it's decentralized. There is no Bitcoin company. There is no government. It's kind of like email.
However, the very things that people like about Bitcoin are also what criminals like about it. They want to move money from place to place secretly, without governments knowing about it. Law enforcement agencies in the United States recently closed an online market that used Bitcoin. Marco Santori is the chairman of the Bitcoin Foundation's Regulatory Affairs Committee. He notes that all Bitcoin transactions can be seen by all other computers, and he says the belief that no one regulates the currency is not true.
Bitcoin is, in fact, heavily regulated. It is very heavily regulated. Those who exchange bitcoins for other digital currencies or who exchange bitcoins for dollars are money transmitters under the Bank Secrecy Act.
The amount of Bitcoin in the system must always be counted and tracked. Users' computers that watch and approve Bitcoin sales and purchases are given new Bitcoins. Mr. Brito says this is how more money is added to the system.
Every 10 minutes, there are about 25.5 Bitcoins introduced into the economy. And it is given to one of the miners, kind of at random, as it were, who are contributing to computing capacity.
The United States, Germany, and many other governments accept the use of bitcoins, but some officials have called for stronger regulations on the electronic currency. China recently banned its banks, but not businesses, from trading in bitcoin. Since its beginning in 2009, the value of a bitcoin has increased from just a few pennies to hundreds of American dollars.
And that's our program for today. Be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for another As It Is from VOA Learning English. I'm Steve Ember. Thanks for listening.
Words and Their Stories is next, followed by People in America. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English. Thank you.
the VOA Special English Program, Words and Their Stories. Bologna is a kind of sausage that many Americans eat often. The word also has another meaning in English. It is used to describe something, usually something someone says, that is false or wrong or foolish. Bologna sausage comes from the name of the Italian city Bologna. The city is famous for its sausage, a mixture of smoked, spiced meat from cows and pigs. But bologna sausage does not taste the same as beef or pork alone. Some language experts think this different taste is responsible for the birth of the expression bologna. Bologna is an idea or statement that is nothing like the truth, in the same way that bologna sausage tastes nothing like the meat that is used to make it. Bologna is a word often used by politicians to describe the ideas of their opponents. The expression has been used for years. A former governor of New York State, Alfred Smith, criticized some claims by President Franklin Roosevelt about the successes of the Roosevelt administration. Smith said, "No matter how thin you slice it, it is still bologna." A similar word has almost the same meaning as bologna. It even sounds almost the same. The word is blarney. It began in Ireland about 1600. The Lord of Blarney Castle, near Cork, agreed to surrender the castle to British troops. But he kept making excuses for postponing the surrender. And he made them sound like very good excuses. This is just more of the same blarney. The Irish castle now is famous for its blarney stone. Kissing the stone is thought to give a person special powers of speech. One who has kissed the Blarney Stone, so the story goes, can speak words of praise so smoothly and sweetly that you believe them even when you know they are false. A former Roman Catholic bishop of New York City, Fulton Sheen, once explained, "Bologna is praise so thick it cannot be true, and blarney is praise so thin we like it." Another expression is pulling the wool over someone's eyes. It means to make someone believe something that is not true. The expression goes back to the days when men wore false hair or wigs similar to those worn by judges today in British courts. The word wool was a popular joking word for hair. If you pulled a man's wig over his eyes, he could not see what was happening. Today, when you pull the wool over someone's eyes, he cannot see the truth. This VOA Special English Program, Words and Their Stories, was written by Marilyn Cristiano. I'm Warren Shear.
I'm Shirley Griffith.
And I'm Steve Ember with the VOA Special English Program, People in America. Today we tell about Paul Robeson. He was a singer, actor, and civil rights activist. In the 1930s, he was one of the best known and most widely honored black Americans. Later in his life, he was condemned for supporting communism and the Soviet Union.
Paul Robeson was born in Princeton, New Jersey in 1898. His father was a former slave who became the religious leader of a Protestant church. Paul was an excellent student and athlete. Rutgers University in New Jersey gave him money so he could study there. He played four different sports while at Rutgers. He also was the top student in his class. Members of his class believed Paul Robeson would become the leader of black people in America.
Paul Robeson graduated from Rutgers in 1919. He attended law school at Columbia University in New York City. He was only the third black person to attend Columbia Law School. On the weekends, he earned money by playing professional football. He also acted in plays. He married Eslanda Cordoza Good while he was in law school. After he graduated in 1923, he got a job with a group of lawyers in New York. However, he left when he experienced unfair treatment because he was black. He decided not to work as a lawyer. Instead, he wanted to use his ability in theater and music to support African American history and culture.
Robeson became a professional actor. He joined the Provincetown Players, an acting group linked to American playwright Eugene O'Neill. Robeson was the star in two famous productions by Eugene O'Neill in the 1920s. They were All God's Chillen Got Wings and The Emperor Jones. Critics praised his performances. Robeson became the most recognized black actor of his time.
In London, he earned international praise for his leading part in William Shakespeare's great tragic play, Othello. That was in 1930. 13 years later, he played Othello on Broadway in New York. It was very popular. In Othello, Robeson played an African general in ancient Venice. He is married to a young white woman. Othello kills his wife after being tricked into believing that she loves someone else. This is how Paul Robeson sounded in Othello.
Soft, you! A word or two before you go. I have done the state some service, and they know it. No more of that. I pray you in your letters, when you shall these unlucky deeds relate, speak of me as I am. Nothing extenuate, nor set down aught in malice. Then must you speak of one that loved full wisely, but too well.
Paul Robeson also was famous for appearing in the popular American musical play, Showboat. He performed the play in London in 1928 and on Broadway 4 years later. He played a riverboat worker. Jerome Kern wrote the music for Showboat. Paul Robeson sang the song, Old Man River.
Old Man River, that old man river, he must know something, but don't say nothing. He just keeps rolling, he keeps on rolling along. He don't plant taters, he don't plant cotton, and damn that planter, he's soon forgotten. But old man river, he just keeps rolling along.
Paul Robeson appeared in 11 movies in the 1920s and 1930s. However, he realized that his acting was limited by the small number of parts for black actors. He criticized the American movie industry for not showing the real lives of black people in America. He stopped making movies and decided to sing professionally instead. Robeson sang many kinds of music. He sang folk music from many countries. He sang songs to support the labor and social movements of his time. He sang songs for peace and justice. And he sang African-American spiritual music. One of his famous songs was this spiritual, Balm in Gilead.
There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain. And then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There is a...
Paul Robeson was recognized around the world for his fight for civil rights for black Americans. Separation of black people and white people was legal in the United States. Black people did not have the same rights as white people. They were not treated equally. For example, Robeson could not be served in some eating places in the United States. Violence against black people was common. Angry mobs of whites sometimes killed black people, especially in the southern United States.
In the late 1930s, Paul Robeson became involved in national and international movements that sought peace and better labor conditions. He also supported independence for African colonies from their European rulers. He learned the languages and folk songs of other cultures. He said these folk songs expressed the same feelings that were in African-American music. He learned to speak, write, and sing in more than 20 languages.
Robeson traveled a great deal in Europe during the 1930s. He found that black people were treated better in Europe than in the United States. He met members of liberal political organizations, socialists, and African nationalists. He also met many working people and poor people. For many years, he performed in concerts in many countries. The songs he sang supported the struggle for racial justice for black Americans and for civil rights and economic justice for people around the world. He refused to perform at concerts where the people were separated by race. He said, "The idea of my concerts is to suggest that all men are brothers because of their music."
In 1934, Paul Robeson made the first of many trips to the Soviet Union. In the Soviet Union, he said he was treated as an equal of whites for the first time in his life. He declared his friendship for the Soviet Union. And he spoke about the need for peaceful coexistence between the United States and the Soviet Union. Conservative groups in the United States strongly opposed his friendship with the Soviet Union and his support for other liberal issues.
Paul Robeson went to Spain in 1938 during the Spanish Civil War. He sang for Spanish civilians, and he sang for the Loyalist forces fighting for the Spanish Republic. One of the songs he sang was this Spanish Loyalist song, The Four Insurgent Generals.
The four insurgent generals, the four insurgent generals, the four insurgent generals, mamita mia, 'tis true they betrayed you, 'tis true they betrayed you. One Christmas holy evening, one Christmas holy evening, one Christmas holy evening, mamita mia, they'll all be hanging, they'll all be hanging.
In the 1940s, many people in the United States were strongly opposed to Paul Robeson's political beliefs. They said he was too liberal or extreme. Next week, we will tell you about how opposition to his political beliefs affected the last part of his life.
This People in America program was written by Shelley Gollist and produced by LaJuan Davis. I'm Shirley Griffith.
And I'm Steve Ember. Join us again when we finish the story of Paul Robeson in Special English on The Voice of America.